The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Necessary app for investors. This app is essential for UK investors as you get RNS push notifications sent straight to your phone for the companies on your watch list. That's from Abid Khan 1 at the App Store there. Thanks very much for that, Abid. And listen, if you use the app, the Vox Markets app, it's free to download, of course, but if you get value from it, then pop to your App Store and repay us with a decent rating and review, and that's all we ask of you. Okay, it's the 26th of June, 2019. It's a Wednesday. On the podcast today, I have Colin Bird, who is Chief Executive Officer of Galileo Resources, GLR, and Colin discusses their initial inferred mineral resource estimate for their Star Zinc project in Zambia. Also on the podcast, John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel, talks about the following companies: Kora Gold, Power Metal Resources, and Metal Tiger. And, as always, I have two essential lists for you. The top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too. And you can see both these lists, in fact, top 10 versions of these lists, at voxmarkets.co.uk, where you'll see a host of other content like articles, podcasts, videos, etc. That's voxmarkets.co.uk.
Want to keep up to date with all the companies in your portfolio? On the free Vox Markets app, you can create multiple watch lists and get instant news alerts about any company you follow. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Colin Bird, Chief Executive Officer of Galileo Resources. GLR is the ticker there. Colin, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me. Appreciate it.
Yes, and some significant news out. You've got some maiden inferred ore resource at the Star Zinc project. Now, before we delve into the figures in that and how significant it is for the company, let's just have a reminder if someone's listening right now. Let's say they've never heard of Galileo Resources. Could you summarise it for them, please, Colin?
Well, if you were to make an investment in Galileo now, you'd be looking at a company which is diverse. We've always said that our mission is opportunistically driven, and ranking, of course, is that the prime activities are our zinc activities in Zambia. Following up behind that is the Glenover project in northwest South Africa. That's phosphate rare earths, and that looks like it's going to have a new life, of course, with what's going on in between China and the US. And then we've got the Ferber project on the Nevada-Utah border, which is a huge copper gold project, which, you know, because of all our activities, we can spread ourselves so far financially and people, but there it sits as a very, very prime asset, awaiting exploration and joint venture. So opportunistically driven, aiming at sort of big situations, and aiming at once one's established those situations, focusing in and around them for maximum benefit. That's Galileo Resources in a nutshell.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Okay, well, let's dig into the inferred ore resource here, the maiden one here. So take us through the figures there, Colin. What's the size here? What have we got there?
Well, you know, when we first took the thing over, I think a couple of years ago now, we were looking from Charter Consolidated of a couple of 100,000 tonnes at around about 17% zinc. And we did two drilling campaigns. We obviously in-house, we did all our calculations and had some assistance from outside consultants at arriving at what management considered was the resource. Mm-hmm. But of course, that's no use for the market. But what we require is independence. What we require is the detail and the quality of modelling to give that independence some reliability. So we Addison Mining Consultants, carried out an independent exercise where they've modelled, digitised, done all the things that they do, the statistical analysis, and they've come up with this table of resource. And essentially, it's good news. It's extremely good news on the basis that often, you know, your ore is disseminated and you've got to spend a lot of money on selecting the better material for processing. Then you've got to process it, all of those things. And we've come up with two situations, 400,000 tons or 500,000 tons, whichever you like, can be selectively mined to produce between 16 and 18% zinc. Now, that's high-grade material. And, of course, just getting down to raw inferred resource, that's quite a resource. It's over 70,000 tons of contained zinc. Now, if we'd got to build our own plant, we'd be on the border. It would be marginal. But we haven't. This material will be shipped up as to Kabwe. And, of course, run-of-mill grade is 8%, so they'll be very happy to get some ore in between 16 and 18. And what our announcement doesn't talk, of course, and we've got to get into optimization, we can actually give these guys a year of probably plus 25% zinc. So it's an excellent announcement on the basis that high grade, easily mined at a 1-to-1 stripping ratio. We don't get down more than 60 meters. And there's a central core of the pit which has been extracted in the old days. So the actual pit entry and access is going to be quite cheap to put in place. So we're absolutely delighted with the result. And I think the buzzword here is it's a clear definition of high grade ore which can be worked discretionally. We can actually work the high-grade ore and ship it up the road. So, splendid result. Twice as good as, well, in simple numbers, a lot more than we expected when we first came in. And it's now sort of put the envelope around Star Zinc.
Yeah, so you're saying pretty much, what, 6-year life of mine, and of course, like you just said there, you won't have to build a processing plant, so the capital burden is a lot lower. And so how much a year are you thinking of processing there then?
Well, you've hit it on the nose. And of course, you know, we've got to talk to the other end. There's two parties in this, and there's the processor and there's ourselves. But we've modelled 6 years, and at 6 years, it's around about 12,000 tons of zinc a year. That's a lot of revenue when you start looking at today's zinc price. You know, it's moved between 2,000 and 3,000 over the last 18 months, and the long-term prognosis is good. So 12,000 tons of contained zinc we'll be shipping up the road, which is very good for us. You know, by the time, you know, I can't actually predict total payability because discussions are still in place, but you're looking at a model which should generate around about $15-16 million of revenue and shouldn't cost a lot more than 2 to 3. So you're looking at surplus income over expenditure per annum accruing to Galileo of around about $12-13 million. And, you know, with a market cap, that's quite a pleasing prospect to be looking forward to. And it, you know, we won't be buying plant and we won't be hiring people because it literally is dig, crush and take up the road being, you know, 1.5-2 hours up the road to Kabwe. And the only processing equipment will be a mobile crusher, which, you know, will ensure that the stuff is nicely sized for receipt at the other end. And of course, you get maximum effect from your transport. It's always easier to load an homogeneous product than it is a rough, great big, you know, boulders and what. And, you know, it's difficult at both ends. So we'll crush it down to a reasonable transportable size. So no investment in mining equipment, no investment in processing equipment, no investment in trucks. This is completely outsourced. This operation is completely outsourced, and hopefully we'll be able to, as I say, get ourselves anywhere between 12, 13, 14 million income per year for 6 years. And of course, that's not quite the end of the story, because with the level of optimization we're talking about, and that leaves some 20,000 tons of contained zinc at a lesser grade. Now, Willemite is very obvious to see. So it may well be that we put in a pretty pagan processing route and upgrade the material that is left, and we send that up the road and buy ourselves an extra year. So very exciting, very pleased. And of course, I haven't mentioned silver, and I haven't mentioned germanium. And they're worth about $50, $50 a ton between them, which could pay for everything plus. But, you know, we haven't got the final circuit, final flows, where the germanium would go to, where how you would get the silver from the zinc, et cetera, et cetera. So we are, you know, as a company, as a board of directors, we're quite delighted with the result.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what's next then, Colin? What's the next big sort of news development process here and milestone you're hoping to achieve here?
Well, now we know it's worth digging, that it's a very viable subject. The next thing, of course, is get the permissions to dig it. And we'll be applying for a small-scale license in Zambia because it's not a huge operation. Those things take about 4, 5, 6 months. And we're trying to coincide our ability to mine with the Kabwe operation's ability to receive. And that is around about, you know, I don't want to make forecasts for them, but they should be receiving material from us, hopefully, October, November. And so we're fast-tracking now the mining application. That's the current activity.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, if someone's listening to this, Colin, and likes the sound of the progress you're making there, the news today, but are not following the story, give them those three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, you're basically watching a company which has got a market cap of about 2 million quid, which is going to be generating, hopefully, income of not less than 10 million quid. So, you know, there's a bit of a disconnect, there's a lot of a disconnect there. And of course, Starzing, in this discussion, you and I haven't mentioned Kashitu. So we've got similar material, but much more of it within 6 kilometers of the mine. So therefore, one reason is you've got a proven asset and one under ownership, which can be much bigger. Good reason to be into the zinc because the money numbers look good. The company is very proactive in what it's doing, and it will be pushing its rare earths as well as its phosphate. And the company is totally undervalued according to its peers in the market that is in, the AIM market. There's three good reasons.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Colin, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks a lot.
That's very kind of you. Thank you for the interview. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You're right, John.
Yes, I'm good. Thank you.
Now, mining and resource stocks is your thing, and I just tweeted out literally a few minutes ago, stock futures surge after Treasury Secretary Mnuchin says, I don't know how you pronounce that, Mnuchin, says the US-China deal is 90% complete. But maybe some would say, yeah, but it's at 10% that's the problem. But that's decent news, isn't it?
That is good news. I mean, it says the bulk of the deal is sorted, and clearly there are some difficult issues for the Chinese to agree on. I think that really relates to technology theft, technology agreements going forwards, stuff to do with highway, those kind of tricky issues. And it's always possible that we could see a trade deal agreed and then signed shortly after the G20 meeting. And it may be that Trump feels that it would be better to move and settle that earlier rather than later. Because the market, I think, is now looking for that deal to be settled in the fall, in September, probably more like October. But Trump might surprise us and give us all a bit of an early summer present to go away with.
Yeah, well, apparently, yesterday saw its worst day of June. Well, it's not hard, maybe. How many days we had? Well, we had 26, I suppose, but not trading days. But this was off the back of the Fed Reserve, Fed Chair Jerome Powell saying that central bank is assessing whether the U.S. economy is calling for lower rates. So, but either way here, I mean, I think everyone's a bit cautious. But if you have the deal, it's good. If they lower rates, I suppose it's, obviously the dollar goes down, but it helps the US economy. So, yeah, and I think there's been a lot of campaigning by big business, hasn't there? Signatories saying, Apple, one of them, saying to Donald Trump, don't hike, you know, more tariffs. It's not good for American companies or Chinese companies. So I think the pressures, I know he does do things, he doesn't care. He seemed not to care, but he does care about the market. Of course he does. And I think, you know, if business are putting pressure on him, he may actually relent here and do a deal, you know? I think that's the way forward, isn't it? It's no good for either country, is it, let's be honest?
Well, Trump is all about promoting the U.S. economy, and I have to say he seems to be pretty good at that. I know that the trade war creates some issues, but it does help to reshore and bring back a certain amount of manufacturing to the U.S. I mean, clearly there's quite a lot that they can't compete with China because of the very low costs that China has, but there is stuff that they can ensure moves back to the U.S. because there was a general trend for reshoring manufacturing anyway. And I think that the problem for Trump is he's been on at the Fed to cut rates for ages now, and finally the Fed are caught between a rock and a hard place where they really have to start looking at cutting rates, and the market's expecting 2 or 3 rate cuts by the end of the year, and that is helping because that is weakening the US dollar, which is what Donald Trump wants to see. He also wants to see a strengthening of the Chinese renminbi, but that's less easy for him to engineer. He's certainly putting pressure on China to do that, and the key thing is that Xi Jinping, the Chinese president, is also under a lot of pressure. If you see, they capitulated on the rioting in Hong Kong, and they said, well, we're not going to bring through that legislation to impose mainland court justice on Hong Kong residents, and so they gave in. And the reason why they gave in is because there's about a dozen Chinese cities that are all bubbling under with a great deal of tension, and where rioting could have easily sparked off. And so Xi Jinping has calmed troubled waters, because he's worried that things could have blown up on a much larger scale in mainland China. And he's got quite a lot of pressure from his own advisory cabinet, whatever they call it in China. So he's got to try and keep that lot at peace as well. So pressure on all sides for both leaders. And probably really the best outcome for those leaders is to settle the trade deal.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's hope it plays out nicely here, because I think it should do. It's getting the end game now, I think. But how long that end game is, who knows? All right. Let's have a look at the individual stories. Any there, John?
Well, we saw some nice news out of Kora Gold. They've got they announced a good recovery rate on one of their projects, gold projects in Mali. Moving on to African Battery Metals, renamed on Friday as Power Metals Resources. That's led by Paul Johnson these days. So he's stepped in there. And Paul Johnson, as you remember, was behind Metal Tiger. Metal Tiger is very interesting today because Sandfire out of Australia are bidding, I think it was $167 million to buy MOD Resources, where Metals Tiger have a 10.5% stake. So that's very good news for those guys, and hopefully for Paul Johnson as well. Although he's stepped away from Metals Tiger, he's still a driving force behind any small company that he gets involved with. And he's a value creator, which is important. So Power Metals Resources, as it's now called, is moving to drill a nickel sulfide project in Tanzania. And that's pretty interesting. In fact, that drilling is being managed by Katoro Gold. So the two companies there, hopefully they'll push ahead and find something sensible at Hanetti.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Fair play. Paul is a good promoter. You know, he works hard, and I know he has some detractors, but he knows how to get interest in his stock. You know, and he has a range of skills there, which is some I've seen. You know, CEOs and companies just plough along, have no idea about marketing and PR. You know, and Paul does know how to do that. So sometimes, you know, when a company's been struggling for a long time to get some attention, some traction, and Paul comes along and chucks his hat in the ring there and takes some stock. It's welcome for those shareholders, you know, because it's about time someone gave us a bit of presence, you know. So marvellous stuff. So, listen, I'm talking to a man here who's, you know, a partner at SP Angel. You're in the resource mining sector, so you're going to be bullish. But generally, I mean, you know, if you look back at where we were, say, because we had a big sell-off, of course, back in the last quarter of last year, we're rebounding a little bit here. But what's your thoughts, John? We're at the bottom here, do you think, as far as resources are concerned?
Well, it depends which metals we're talking about. I think, I mean, certainly if we get a trade deal signed, and we would expect bullish sentiment to combine with an uplift in GDP growth, certainly in China, and probably in some other parts of the world, to lift demand for a lot of metals. There's been an awful lot of short selling, I think, of commodities down. And we were looking for quite a big rally in some of these metals. But I suspect what we're going to see now is the covering of those positions, and probably a little bit of a rally coming through. In certain specific cases, we still got problems from the administration of the Fanya exchange in China, which turned out to be a large fraud. It's difficult to know exactly how much metal was bought by the Fanya exchange. What we know is not as much as was reported to the people who put their money in. Many billions of dollars were committed to that exchange, and they were buying speciality metals like indium was the big one, I think, really focusing on metals for liquid crystal displays and things like that. Tungsten. So that's one of the reasons why the tungsten price has pulled back a bit. So we are being a bit cautious on some of these speciality metals. But in reality, I think what we're seeing, the Chinese have just stepped in to get involved with yet another rare earth project, this time in Madagascar. And it does look as if the US strategic defense stockpile is probably buying the rare earth metals as well. They've finally woken up to the fact that China controls so much of world supply. And so there is, shall we say, selective good news going on. And I think the battery metals still have a very good future from here. And I can't really see much reason why they would suffer anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, marvellous stuff, exactly. So, yeah, the exhaustion of sellers, pretty much. Cool, marvellous stuff. John, thanks for that, fella, and hopefully we'll catch up next week.
Look forward to it.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are, let me just refresh the list here. So I've got up-to-date, because it's dynamic, it changes every second. So I've got at five, Tolu Energy, T-L-O-U. At four, Cora Gold, C-O-R-A. At three, it's Jangada Mines, J-A-N. At two, ticker there, AQI, down 11.5% today, placing, of course. And number one, most followed companies, Power Metal Resources, POW. And in fact, John Mayer just covered them on the podcast a few minutes ago. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, 88 Energy, Project Icewine Conventional Farm Out Update. At four, Cora Gold, Preliminary Metallurgical Test Results. At three, Petromatad, operational update. At two, Asia Met Resources, results of AGM. And the number one most liked RNS came from SDX Energy, oil discovery at Rabal 7 well in Egypt. That's it for the podcast. Don't forget, if you use the Vox Markets app, get some value from it. It's free for you to download. Then please repay us with a nice rating and review, and I may read it out on the top of the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.